Welcome to another episode of the Nimrod Horror Podcast, where we sit, sip, and talk horror shit. Joey's off in the woods, probably getting slaughtered. I don't know what else to say. So, Nimrod Generation's taking over this podcast. What's up, Vincent?
Dude, what's going on?
Yeah. Joey was like, oh, I have a trip to go on. And when he told me he was going to the woods, I'm like, we've watched plenty of horror movies to know you don't go to the woods with your friends there, gay.
Nope.
But he won't open the door if someone knocks in the middle of the night. Who knows? Maybe he'll be here next week. Let's hope he's here. All right. As we always do on the Nimrod Horror Podcast, what are we sipping on today? Vincent, what are you sipping on today, my good sir?
Oh, I've got a Buffalo Bayou Brewing 2021 version of the Christmas in July. A bomber. So, you know. Brought out the big glass.
Is it does it taste like cinnamon? Like a gingerbread man? You know, like
pretty close, yeah.
Pretty close.
I was trying to remember the spices.
Yeah, I was trying to remember because I think I've had it once on this podcast before, but it was probably an earlier year. They have it annually, right? So like is it a different batch every year? Is it just the same thing?
Yeah, they make a new batch every year, but it's basically the same ingredients and stuff.
Oh, all right. Well, as I ate too much before starting this podcast, I cannot drink beer. So I decided to give me some 1800. At least a couple shots of tequila will alleviate that.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Hey, don't worry, we will not be here till 5 o'clock in the morning. Do not worry.
I will not.
Alrighty. So today we will be talking about the summer blockbuster from 1987. Is it a blockbuster? I can't
tell. People act like it was.
Right? Shit.
There's a fan base for it.
Yeah. There was also a fan base for Batman, but look where that turned out.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, before Joel Schumacher was over there ruining the Batman stories, he was working on other bat creatures, such as vampires. So that is our subject for today, The Lost Boys.
Yep.
I've watched this movie maybe once or twice in my life completely. Today being the completely, I guess. The time before this one, I did not finish it. And the one before that one, I'm too damn young to remember what the hell I was watching. I just know it had a Corey Feldman in it. I remember being a big Corey Feldman fan because of the Goonies. Other than that, yeah. I'm just wondering how Joel Schumacher kept making movies, but... You, Vincent, you got anything that you watched before, no watch before?
Yeah, no, I've never seen this film before now. I just never got around to it. It was one of those things where I was like, okay, I should watch it, but I'm like, whatever.
Was there any interest that got you to want to watch it, you know, like?
I don't know, not that much. It just keeps popping into my head every once in a while, thinking I need to watch it. And so we were discussing things, and I'm like, yeah, let's watch this one.
Mm. I mean, that's the one beauty about having these kind of podcasts, that you get to watch things. Sometimes you can actually move up the things that you've been meaning to watch, finally watch them. So, yeah, I honestly, this movie has a lot of things going for it that I use in my personal life and you use in your personal life. You got some comic book nerds up in this movie. It started off with a decent soundtrack, but I don't know. It just kind of shot to left field there.
Yeah.
I mean, oh boy, Tim Capello is on this movie. If you don't know, he's the sex guy. He was a sex guy for Whitney Houston at a point too, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think that's what he was best known for.
I don't really keep up with Whitney Houston.
Because I was actually looking up Tim Capel, because I listened to that band Gunship, that synthwave band or whatever. But they have a song on there, and it's Dark Days. It's like the second track on that album, and it has Tim Capella on it, and it's pretty much like a Lost Boys tribute song.
Yeah, so he actually came by the last. I think it was the last Comic Palooza that I went to. He was there. Yeah. Tim Capella, whatever.
Ah, okay. They actually even used him, as seen here, on the Lost Boys, like, comic book. Book. Graphic novel, comic book, whatever. It's
comic adaptation.
Yeah, I got all six issues of that. Turns out he's a vampire hunter. I don't know. Team Silly wrote it. I think it was like back in 2018, 2019 when it ended. It's only six issue mini.
Nice.
Not bad stuff. So yeah. Ah, man. Lost Boys. Like, I want to say there is stuff we can talk about and stuff that what's the point of even saying or mentioning, because so many people have. Like you said, it has a fucking fan base.
Yeah.
So, do you think the fan base is worth it?
I think if I would have seen this movie when I was younger, I would say yes. But okay. Now that I've, you know, watching it to the age that I am and, you know, point I am in my life, I'm kind of like, you know, it's good, but it's not like, oh my shit.
Nothing that stands out. It's a product of its time, in other words.
Basically.
Yeah. Well, the movie is pretty much a mother, Lucy. She and her two sons, Michael and Sam, moved to Santa Carla with their grandfather. That, honestly, he reminded me so much of you. Not like the quirkiness, but the you got a lot of rules, guy. That grandpa had a lot of rules. Gotta love him, though. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were about to turn around and say, I'm gonna kill you, little punk.
That's what you want to hear.
No, I don't want to hear that you want to kill me. I want to hear, hey, Leo, after work on a Saturday, let's just go to this beer company and just have a couple beers and lunch. Call it a day. That would like bring a tear to my eye. You know, that would make the angels in heaven sing.
But there's a lot of things that would bring tears to your eyes.
Yes. Like Ash, Stein, and Pikachu in Pokemon, the first movie. Tenet disappearing. What else? Vampires that bleed glitter.
The wind blowing the wrong way.
The wind blowing the wrong way if someone passed gas. Yes, of course. But
yeah.
Haynes and Feldman, first movie together of many. I guess this is the beginning of their grand, you know. Honestly, I've never seen any other movie they've been in together. I don't think I have.
Yeah.
I've heard they've been in a couple movies. I've just never seen any of them. I've seen the what's his name? Kiefer Sutherland?
Yeah, Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland. Yeah, I've seen him with Feldman and Stand By Me. Which also had Will Wheaton that still has that face you want to punch in the face.
Yep. Well, I mean, there's a couple right here, License to Drive and Dream a Little Dream.
What the hell are those movies?
Corey Haim and Corey Feldman movies.
Yeah, but what are they about? Were they supposed to be comedies?
Yeah. I guess. I was never big on both of them anyway, so whatever.
I like me some Feldman. I did watch that one movie he was in that. What was it called? Meatballs? Meatballs 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was Meatballs 4, where he was like a ski instructor or some shit like that. But now that I think about it, I gotta rewatch those movies too. I do miss me some old school comedy like that. The birthplace of the American Pie style movies and shit like that. But, well, how do you even go from, they moved to Santa Carla, there's apparently vampires in Santa Carla, and this movie is considered to be a horror film, but I find it more of a coming age drama with a sprinkle of horror in it.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's got horror to it, but it's more just like a random story, and they threw vampires in.
Yeah, and then...
Because they didn't have to be vampires. They could have been, like, the town bullies or...
Yeah, I felt like...
town gang, whatever.
The vampires was just to make it different. Which, that's another thing that, like, I don't really like that it's also considered a comedy. It has some comedic moments, but the movie takes itself too serious sometimes to just put it off as a comedy.
Yeah.
And
Corey Feldman's character, along with his brother, the Frog Boys, they're kind of comedic.
Yeah, was it Edgar and they're named after Edgar Allan Poe. What was his name? There was
then I guess Edgar. He's Allen. Edgar.
Yeah.
Allen.
Frog. What kind of last name is Frog?
I don't know the kind they had.
All right. Man. So we find out that Sam likes a girl. Sam joins the wrong crowd, which
Michael.
Oh yeah, Michael. Michael is the one who ends up liking a girl named Star.
Star, yeah.
Yeah, so he's all trying to be with her. There's the main vampire, Daniel. David. Yeah, I gotta remember the Star of David. That's how I remember both of their names. And apparently, the guy from Bill and Ted is in this. Bill yep. Winters?
Yep.
So, in a very small role. Were the other two famous guys, too? Because
No, just Alex Winter. The other two, I'm not really remembering them and anything else.
So, yeah, they do end up tricking Michael to, I guess when he drank the wine, it was probably like vampire blood, I guess.
Yeah, and it was blood. I mean, the Star warned him. She said, that's not wine, that's blood.
Yeah, and that's like the scene where, like, I thought it was kind of cool the first time I watched it, but now watching it again, it just doesn't seem so cool. It's like the whole, you're eating maggots.
Yeah.
And then, like, the guy, Michael drops it on the floor, and he's like, he sees it's rice, and starts all like, stop messing with him. I don't know about you, but if that shit would happen to me, I'm like, what the fuck did you do?
Yeah.
Like, that's the first question that would have popped out my head. He just stands like, oh, I guess. So then when David hands him, like, the noodles, it's like worms, and he's like, well, why are you giving me worms? And then David just eats, and it's like, we talking about worms, you know? And seriously, like, this whole time, does Michael not really think, like, how the fuck are you doing this? Are you like a magician? Are you a hypnotist? Or what the fuck is going on here?
Are you a wizard?
Yeah, you know? It's like, that's like a clearly a huge red flag there, guys.
Yeah.
But it's the 80s, I guess. You don't question nothing in the 80s.
Yeah.
So he finds out they go to the bridge. it's like the iconic scene where they're all hanging off the bridge as the train is going by them, and they all just let go into the mist or whatnot, to a fog. And then you start having the scenes where Michael's transforming into a vampire, not realizing what he is at first or anything like that. What's going on,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like hitting puberty, you know. He's hitting his vampiric puberty. And his brother is like over here with these two dorks, really. Like, honestly, I've met people like this, especially when it comes to aliens.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't even know how to explain Corey Feldman's character, besides the fact that I thought he had already smoked a pack a day before he actually started any of these scenes. He always has that little raspy voice, you know. I can't even do it. I fucking smoke and I can't even fucking do it. He sounded worse than Awkwafina.
Yeah, well, I kind of thought Corey Haim was the weirdo because he had that big ass picture of Molly Ringwald on one wall of his room, and then he's got a picture of a shirtless Rob Lowe on the other side of his room. And I'm like, wait a minute.
You know who did that.
Oh, I know who did it. I know who put that shit in there, and it wasn't Corey Haim. Asshole who put nipples on the bat suit.
Oh, in a butt shot? An ass, yeah. Ass cheek shot or whatever? Oh, man. Yeah, dude, I was trying to see who, because I looked at the posters too, and I was like, what the this just makes no sense whatsoever, you know?
Oh, it does not.
But I guess it is what it is, you know. It's but oh man, so I honestly wanted to see more of the Frog Brothers in this film. Like, I wanted to see more of, like, they do have a scene in the movie where they invite themselves over for dinner after, you know, after Sam figures out his brother's a vampire. Then they're trying to, like,
they have their suspicions about the main head vampire.
Yeah.
Who they know they can kill before Michael fully turns into a vampire to prevent him from turning into a vampire.
Yeah. Which, I mean, too many people already seen this movie. It's like not spoiling anything, to be honest.
Yeah.
If you have not watched this film, you're probably living under a rock, or you kind of get better off. But
like I was up till this point, and they're like, I'll watch it later. I'll see it someday.
Yeah. So we do find out who the main vampire is. It tries to do that twist ending scenario where you think it is, but then it's not. But there's a scene that actually made me think, oh, this son of a bitch is the main vampire. Because if you do not know much of your vampiric, like, lore knowledge.
The one thing you need to know is what is this thing.
A vampire cannot come into your home unless invited. So there's the scene where Michael's walking out the house, and Max, which is their mom's boyfriend, is right there. And he's all like, oh, well, you're the man of the house now. Aren't you going to invite me in? As soon as he said that, I was all like, motherfucker, you is the vampire.
Yeah, when they were like, oh, it's got to be Max. And then I was like, okay, I guess it could be Max. And then when he said, you must invite me in, oh, fuck yeah. That's it. I mean, there's the fucking big reveal.
Yeah, for a moment there, the movie does trick you into the whole concept of, like, some of the lore is real, some of the lore is not.
Yeah, because they eat human food.
Yeah, he eats human food. He can stand garlic.
And he kind of explained that one because he said that nothing would work once they invited him in. They would have no power over him. But also, Twisted Sister guy, when they had the bathtub full of garlic and holy water, he's like, garlic doesn't fucking work. And they're like, what about holy water, bitch?
Yeah. So, but here's the thing that confused me a little bit about that whole scenario of inviting a vampire into the house is, how did the other three come in? They technically weren't invited. They broke in. Because there, what pretty much ends up happening is we think Michael Max is no longer the vampire. They're trying to figure out who the main vampire is. They figure out it's David. They impaled one of the vampires as they're sleeping. And, dude, this is what I was talking about. Fucking vampires up near damn Canada, they sparkle in the sunlight. But these vampires, they bleed glitter.
Well, it was like a jelly type substance, like a pink ectoplasm.
Yeah, but it's still glittery, nonetheless. Yeah. Like, when they came out in the pure sunlight, like, all that glitter was, like, just shining away, bro. Like, I was like, damn.
I'm kind of thinking that was a director choice, too. But
yeah.
It's kind of funny how, you know, this, the, again, go watch the movie if you want to watch it. If you've already seen it, then, or if you haven't seen it by now, you should have seen it. What, I don't know, whatever. But I'm about to spoil some things.
Like, go for it.
Okay, stake through the heart. Yeah, I get it. But an arrow through the heart works. And then ivory or bone through the heart also works. It's just that you don't dematerialize. You just turn normal, and okay, well, a normal person couldn't have antlers through their heart, so you still die.
True that, true that. Yeah, because when they end up dude, this is something else that pissed me off. But, well, hold on. The vampires go and attack the house. What do you think of that? Like, we had mentioned, they weren't invited in.
Yeah, they weren't invited. Maybe it was
just a rush in.
Maybe it was a thing where, okay, if the head vampire was invited, it goes to his subordinates also.
Never heard of that one.
But that's, yeah, that's really stretching it, though, for the movie. But I don't know, maybe if it's where, if you've got no qualms with a vampire, yeah, they can't go in unless they're invited. But if they're trying to kill your ass, then whatever.
I mean, Fright Night, the vampire was trying to kill the kid, but when the kid was inside the house, he wouldn't let him in.
Yeah.
So, like, he didn't invite him in, and the vampire never walked into his house until his mom let him in the house.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I told my son, like, don't invite him in. He's like, I said, they have to be invited in. He's like, oh, well, then I could just be a butthead. I said, no, you can't come in.
Exactly. That's actually the truth, though. But you know what? Sometimes I feel like that whole concept of inviting a vampire in was kind of a way to teach kids not to let a stranger in your damn house.
Maybe.
I could see that working out like that, you know, like.
Yeah.
Parent telling a kid, you don't let nobody in your house, you could be a vampire. It could only work till they're like, what? Until they don't believe in Santa Claus no more? Knowing kids nowadays, they got their iPads. They already know Santa Claus ain't real before they're even born.
Yeah, for that, they should know not to invite strangers or vampires into the damn house, too.
Yep. So, I gotta say one thing. I always thought that the vampire lore said that they were very, very strong. Mm-hmm. David couldn't even pull a kid back into a cave before he got burned by sunlight.
Well, it's also in the daytime when they're their weakest. And he had Corey and his brother pulling him as well. So it wasn't just him fighting against David. He was fighting against all three kids. And they weren't like 6 and 7. They were teenagers.
I still mean, though. Nah. Well, okay, how about this? How the hell did the three vampires go down so damn quick? It looked like Home Alone at a point.
Well, it did, yeah. But it was because, okay, Alex Winter, he was already dead. where they got those fucked up ass feet where they're hanging from the roof. So he's dead. And then the Nook or whatever, the dog, manages to hit that one fool into the bathtub full of holy water, which somehow ruins the pipe, the plumbing in the whole house.
Right.
Blowing up toilets and sinks and shit.
It was an exorcism. That's what it was, bro. It was a fucking exorcism.
Yeah. And so then that was the one that got me. The black hair guy's a vampire's death. Because, you know, Corey threw the bow at him with his tennis shoestring bow that he made earlier that day.
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh, you missed, fuckface." Like, "I don't miss twice, bitch." All of a sudden, he's fucking William Tell.
Oh, hold on. The line I remember in the movie, "Death by Stereo." Yeah. I'm like, damn. The only thing that really popped in my head was, damn, I haven't heard that band in years. Because I remember I saw the band Death by Stereo at Warped Tour back in 2003 or 4, I think. So it's been a while.
Yeah, I haven't heard it before.
So, going back a little bit to where this movie is horror, as you want to put it, they do have a lot of scenes like where like they're the gang's flying in the air and they're attacking the people or whatnot.
Yeah,
I didn't really like that. I just felt like it was overused. You know, in some of these movies, they kind of happen a little bit like through time, like as like a certain amount of time through the movie allows, and then they'll do it again. But this movie was at the beginning was doing it a lot. Like it was like the forced vampire attacks that just kind of went nowhere. So it would, to me, it was a kind of a delight, but I thought it was like, the dumbest scene in the film was when the reveal of them, how they look like vampires.
Yeah.
You know, when David comes out and it looks, I'm like, holy shit, this looks cool. But then they all start giggling away and I'm like, this looks stupid.
Yeah.
Like, you had an epic scene right there and then you go ahead and ruin it god awfully.
Yeah, well, but they did, but it kind of went with the storyboard of the teen boy gang or young adult vampires. Like, it was still dumb, but
no. You sure they didn't bleed because they were glam metal vampires? They all look like they could have probably been like in Guns N' Roses, or what was that other band called? The one with the 21, 18 and old, 18 and...
You mean like Poison or Motley
Crue? Yeah, yeah, like one of those bands. Skid Row, yeah. Back in the day.
Skid Row, yeah.
Like that's to me, the whole gang felt like that. Like, you know, you had the fucking up with the mullet, the standing poofy hair.
You're making me think of all these bands like Rat. And all these bands, I'm like, oh, what the hell? I'll listen to part of your music, but don't make me look at you fuckers.
It's like, there were the bands that, like, you would listen to them, but, like, you can just picture them playing. Or, like, as soon as the music starts, you're like, I know exactly how this band looks like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, that's, like, the thing about it to me. So it's like if Rat came out and just they did a vampire music video or whatnot. And then but I'm telling you, like, the giggling just ruined it for me. That entire scene was ruined by that. Like, it was like that zoom in, zoom out, like, effect. And I'm like, yo, this is too much. Like, and then, but it goes on and on. It's like, let it go. But I feel it redeems itself with the scene that comes up. Not them flying into the onto the attack or whatnot, which I found out that the group they attacked was kind of weird because you had a dude in a punk mohawk and this one dude with like the shirt that goes up to here, you know, like above his.
I don't know if you looked at the end credits, but they were billed as the Surf Nazis.
Surf Nazis. Ah, okay. Man. Jesus. This is now that you're just making this scene even worse. But yeah. Dude, they go on the attack or whatnot. They fly into action, if you want to put it like that. But then they started killing them, and that looked actually like legit horror.
Yeah.
The effects to the it would feel like it could make someone kind of nauseous, not because of like they'll bite into someone's head and the blood like spews out, but it the camera starts moving around too much. Like they don't focus on a scene too much. They just kind of.
That was one thing I had a problem with Schumacher's direction, because the camera was so shaky throughout the whole fucking movie. Yeah. And when Sam first finds out Michael's becoming a vampire, because all of a sudden his reflection in the mirror is like he's a ghost or some shit. And it's just they start getting tormented by David and the rest of the vampire crew with the lights and the bikes going around and going around, and every fucking shot it swaps to Michael and then it zooms in on his face, and then it swaps to Sam and it zooms in on his face, and it does that shit like 3 or 4 times.
Well, I mean, I guess he had to work with as many effects as that he possibly could to kill a lot of like film, because the movie was filmed in 3 weeks. Legit, it was filmed in 3 weeks, which at points I can see how, you know what I mean, like,
yeah,
with all these shots and a lot of, for a movie that was shot in 3 weeks, I would not expect it to be this long. A lot of the shots were just like scenery shots, like at the carnival on the boardwalk, and like those flying scenes kind of went on for too long.
Yeah.
Some of them you can tell that were done backwards. A lot of them you can tell that were done backwards. But that is what it is. Or like the scene, the iconic scene where they're all hanging from the train or the train track or whatever, and yeah. Everybody falls down and Michael's just hanging up there. I'm like, I felt like being the guy if I was at the bottom going, just jump already. Yeah. You know?
If I was down there, that was what I'd do. I'm like, just fucking fall, dude.
Like, yeah, if you wanted to make this a comedy, why didn't one of the vampires come on and stick their head out the
yeah, stick their head back up. Like, hey, that would have been a thing that he should have done that. That way Michael, like, what the fuck? And then maybe he would have let go.
Yeah, maybe a shock or something. And
yeah,
it's remembered for being one of those teenage vampire films or whatnot, but I don't know. It just has not aged well. Do you think this movie needs a remake?
I don't advocate remakes. So I'm going to say no. I just, like, if somebody could come up with a similar type story, it's not like it's hard.
Corny dialogue.
Yeah.
What else do you need? You need some corny dialogue. You need a killer soundtrack.
You need a small California town where the only thing in the town is the boardwalk. Like the only fucking thing. See how many people were at that damn thing day in, day out? Like, not just on the weekend.
True. It's like the whole, it's not even like it was a town. It was like literally everyone just lived at the boardwalk.
Yep.
But the thing is, it's funny because when you really look at the background, like, I don't know if you noticed, but they were using the same people over and over again. So, like, you didn't even have enough extras. You just literally recycled everybody over and over again.
No, I wasn't looking.
So, man, the reveal was when they killed David and, like, Michael wasn't reverting back, because the whole concept was kill the main vampire so you don't turn full vampire.
Yeah.
You can't go full vampire until you have your first kill. So
yeah, that was another thing that got me, because it's like most vampire flicks, you're like, okay, drink my blood. Okay, I drank your blood. All right, now when you wake up, you're going to be a vampire. But this took days for him to turn. And then they were like, okay, you're ready to turn, but first you got to kill somebody.
Yeah, or was it? Is it the first kill? Or is it the first taste of blood as a vampire? Is that what they meant to say?
I guess, but it would have to be the blood, like, cemented it, because he was able to turn vampire or have vampiric features, just like Kiefer Sutherland and all the rest of them.
And just not a
vampire flight ability, but just not full.
Kind of like a dumb peel. Well, that's pretty much what he was at the moment. He's pretty much a dumb peel because he can walk in the day. He'd be very weak when he does, but he can walk there and out in the day.
Daywalker.
Yep. Dumb peel. A dumb peel, man.
A blade fool.
Hey, I'd rather watch Vampire Hunter D. You remember that?
Yeah.
See it. We should review that. I have both films.
I don't.
I can let you borrow. End of story. But, yep. The whole reveal with Max actually being the vampire, it's kind of one of those where, like, yeah, the movie tried to give you the runaround that he wasn't, but then when he's there, you're just like, I'm pretty sure if you know your vampire lore, it's that whole concept, like you mentioned. Yeah, we knew it was you. Like, thank you. But he even goes down like a bitch.
Well, kind of, yeah. Grandpa backs his truck up and one of the logs flies out and manages to stake him through the heart.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. Like, when Max was leaving, Grandpa was looking over there pretty damn hard. Like, he's over there like, I wonder, you know. And come to figure, at the end of the movie, he's having one of his root beers. Which, by the way, this movie made me want to have a root beer. He literally goes, he said, what did he say?
He said, that's the problem with Santa Clara. Too many damn vampires.
Yeah, it's like, I'm like,
he already knew this shit.
Yeah, it's like, how many motherfuckers in this damn town know? Like, I mean, you got the Frog Brothers, you got the grandpa. It's like, all we need now is a backstory that the grandpa's wife was killed by the fucking vampire. So he's actually a vampire hunter in disguise. Who knows? You know what? Actually, there's something like that up in here.
There's a story that can be told, yeah. But it's like, if it was true, then it would be after they had raised the daughter, because the daughter would know Santa Clara had vampires. So they had to move it there afterwards, whatever.
Okay, in this comic book, in The Lost Boys from Tim Seeley, 2016, that's when it came out. Mm-hmm. He was a vampire hunter. I was like, what the fuck? This guy's a vampire hunter too? Like, first of all, he's over there throwing some sweet 80s jams. But by night, he's also a vampire hunter. Gotcha.
Well, that's what he's doing, I guess.
Yeah, and what's weird about this, not weird, but I like the story that was done for the comic book. It is a continuation. Mm-hmm. A lot of Wildstorm had one before as well. I know that Schumacher actually in the 90s tried to make a sequel. All the vampires in this film kind of practically blew up somehow.
Well, there are two sequels to the movie.
Well, yeah, but it was a direct sequel that he wrote.
Wow.
It was called The Lost Girls. He actually had planned for David to come back, but it never got off the ground. Because the sequels didn't come out till like the 2000s.
Yeah, 2008 and 2010.
Yeah, and Schumacher had nothing to do with them.
That's okay.
Exactly. After Batman, we thank the world for not letting him do another film. He hasn't done shit after Batman and Robin.
I like that they made fun of him in the animated series.
Animated series? Which one?
Yeah, Batman the Animated Series.
They made fun of him? I thought you were talking about Clerks.
No. They made fun of Joel Schumacher in the Batman the Animated Series.
Well, have you seen the Clerks, the animated series?
Yeah, I watched a couple of those.
Okay, so there's one episode where like Randall, which one's the crazy one? Randall, right? Not the one that's like, I'm not supposed to be here today. Not him.
Yeah, that's Dante. Randall's the other guy.
Okay, so when Randall was like, they were in court. I think Dante was getting sued or whatever. So Randall's like his lawyer. So he's all like, I call my first witness to the stand. I call Joel Schumacher.
Yeah.
And he's all like, hey, man, what was up with Batman and Robin? I want my money back. And he like called up all these directors. It was just like, hey, yo, I want my money back. That was a crappy movie.
Yeah, I remember when they did that.
Yeah, he got some shit for that. Man, it's like literally like the whole internet lost their shit with the whole Batman thing. Like, you're right, bat nipples. Why? Why would you do that? I mean, I understand, but why? Giving Batman a MasterCard too? What the fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, what would be the name on the MasterCard? Just Batman? Wouldn't you need a last name? The Batman?
Batman. There's two words right there.
Mm. Robin didn't get one. I mean, his suit got nipples too. Now I got to look back at the movie. Delicious. The Batgirl get nipples in her costume?
You wish. Why would he put nipples on her costume? That's all I'm saying.
Jay Leto's all elite? Oh, for real? Jay Leto's all elite?
Apparently, he did something on the pay-per-view. I hear them talking about Jay Lethal.
I like that shirt, though. Dory released his shirt.
That's nice.
That's a pretty tight shirt. Not a lie, I think I'm going to get that shirt.
You would.
Hey, man, I need another wrestling shirt. The last I have Super Thunder Frog shirt. I have a Banana Club shirt. A lot of people say, man, you got that fake Bullet Club shirt. I'm like, it ain't fake. Do y'all even know Space Monkey? Do y'all even fuck with Space Monkey? Space Monkey needs to be on one of these podcasts. That's all I know.
I would get you a shirt, but then that means Charlotte Flair would get money, so fuck that.
For Space Monkey?
No, I'll get you another wrestling shirt.
And how would Charlotte Flair get money?
Because I would get you a Charlotte Flair shirt.
Ew.
Yeah.
Oh, no, let's not do that.
I like that it was... I like that they could just jump up and start flying and they didn't have to yell bat every time they wanted to fly.
What?
Like all the vampires in What We Do in the Shadows. They all bat! And then they change into a bat and fucking fly off.
That was a way better vampire movie than this.
Pretty much.
I actually got more horror from that one than this one. And definitely more comedy from that one than this.
Yeah, but you know, this is where they got that one bit from in the What We Do in the Shadows movie. Remember? Because they had the the young, edgy vampire, and he was like, how was your spaghetti? He kept asking people, how was your spaghetti? Did you know you were eating worms?
Oh, man. Oh, I didn't even think about that.
You didn't think of it? Oh, man, come on.
Dude, it's like, at points, like, I gotta go with my wife on this. Like, half the time, I'm just like, when is this movie gonna end? It's, you know what I mean, though, right? Like, I'm watching
it. No, I don't, because I love that movie.
No, not the Shadows film. I'm talking about The Lost Boys. Right. Like, to me, The Lost Boys, is it had really no memorable moments. Like, I can see people spoofing it, and then it can literally go over my head unless I've watched this movie so many times that I remember or love it. But that's the thing about What We Do in the Shadows movie. It does a lot, like, of the vampire lore and does spoof it well. You know what? We should have just done What We Do in the Shadows. That's the fucking movie we should have done.
Well, yeah.
We still got 20 minutes. We can pull this off. Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to flat out say it. Don't watch The Lost Boys. Go watch What We Do in the Shadows. You want a vampire comedy? Do that, literally. I can honestly pick. I would even pick the Fright Night remake. That movie even has David Tennant in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude. David Tennant's actually pretty good in that film. He sold every scene he was in. It is gory enough. It's actually pretty well shot. It's action packed, and it does the vampire lore justice with the whole you can't come in the house, like literally, like. Colin Farrell, you don't think of him as like somebody who'd be actually good in those kind of movies, but the dude actually did a pretty fucking solid job in that film. Like whenever he, like, the kid got on his nerves so much, and he just like he wants to walk in, but then like you can see like a presence of him, how he cannot go in the house, or like he come close enough where he's kind of like regretting, like, fuck, like, you're right here, all I have to do is just like. Like, it, you can see it in his face. Like, he's just thinking, like, all I have to do is just reach over here and just grab you by the throat, and that's it. But yeah. He can't do anything. It's actually pretty cool how they do all that. And that's why I would recommend that. And I would definitely recommend the 1980s one. That it's fun. It's, I don't know, something about the 80s films that had that whole. They, of course, they turned more into a comedy. They were more like comedy horror films. They weren't just attacking teenagers at this point. I felt like they were attacking kids. So you see movies like Fright Club, Fright Night, that did have like teenagers, but it's more like a 14-year-old. Not like the Jason movies and stuff like that, where mostly everybody's like fucking 17. Well, they're 28 they're playing a 17-year-old. Yeah. Or a 19-year-old or whatnot. But, like, these are, like legit, like, kids. You have movies like the Monster Squad, you know? Like, you have Dracula come back with the Creature from the Black Lagoon, Frankenstein and the Mummy and all those, and the werewolf. But the fucking fighting kids, like, literally, like, 11-year-old kids. It's almost like when you had the Losers Club in it.
Yeah.
You know, so... It just felt like horror movies at points were trying to be like kind of have kids involved. Like, I felt like whenever you could edit them and put them in TV, like it could have kids watching them. And I think that's what they would try to do, like bring in more of a kid audience. But yet these movies were literally rated R. I know sometimes I've heard this from people. Like, yeah, I like those movies when I was younger, but now as an adult, like, seeing the kids in the film just kind of ruins the whole concept of the films. What do you think about that?
I mean, kind of, just because your tastes change as you get older. Mm-hmm. You know, not just in food or what have you, but But like anything that you can get into, you go back, and if the nostalgia is right, then you're okay. No, this is cool. But sometimes you're like, this wasn't as great as I remember it being. And yeah, just it can just be story elements that do it to you.
Yeah, I mean, I remember one of my favorites is always Ernest Scared Stupid. That is like, I know a lot of people have their must watch Halloween movies. I watched that movie maybe not on Halloween night, but it's always a must watch sometime in October. You know what I mean? So you got any movies like that that you feel like you have to watch once a year? May it be horror, maybe sci-fi, maybe.
Anything like that would be like The Matrix. I could watch The Matrix every year. You know, there are like some Christmas movies we try to watch every year, but it's not the same kind of thing, because that's more, okay, let's do this as a tradition. But I mean, from what I get, you're just saying like any movie that you have to watch and it's not specifically tied to anything.
Yeah, like I know I could watch that movie any time of the year, but I just try to aim for the.
Yeah,
like I've actually watched that movie. I forgot what year when I bought the DVD. I watched that movie once a month for that whole year, and it just never got old to me. Like the whole impersonations he would do, and I think that's just any Ernest movie. Period. It's like you put on an Ernest film and I'm just like, I'm sold. Like, what are we watching tonight? Oh, here, watch Ernest Goes to Jail. Just put it on. I don't care. Just go ahead right now. Fucking do it. Just do it. You know what? I'll order the fucking pizza. Let's go. I'm ready to go. I mean, this is a must. Like, I love all his films. And it always came down to like the impersonations and the stories were just so out there. They were spoofs of their own selves, and I think that's why I started liking those kind of films. And when I started like trying to figure out what is he talking about, what does he mean, where does this impersonation come from, why is he doing this, you know, his films made me want to look into different things.
Yeah.
So I owe Ernest a lot. For like my movie watching and all that stuff. I know I get made fun of a lot because, oh, you like Ernest? You're so stupid. All right, man. It's Ernest. I don't care. If you were young back then, you probably loved him at one point or not. If not, it wasn't your thing, but whatever.
Well, see, I liked him, and I liked watching a lot of the Ernest stuff, you know, because I was little or younger. And I got a lot of the references that he made because it was shit that I watched growing up too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was weird. That whole thing, in case you didn't know, the whole Ernest character stemmed from a commercial. It was like local commercial somewhere up in New England, I think it was. I don't even remember anymore.
Uh-huh.
But he was just a spokesperson in a commercial that started hitting it big, and then they just like started making TV show and movies about him and shit.
No shit.
Yep. That's like crazy. If Flo, or I mean, they did the same shit with the caveman, the Geico caveman.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A TV show about him.
Go figure. All right. But, well, you did mention that there were sequels. Ah. I have not watched any of these sequels.
I definitely have not watched them.
Would you be willing to watch any of these sequels? Because I personally am not. I don't have no plans of watching any of these sequels.
I don't know. It looks like Jason Patrick, the guy who played Michael, is in at least one of them. Corey Feldman's supposed to be in both of them.
Yeah. Oh, and that's actually what I wanted to tell you, that I think one of them has to do with some female vampires or whatnot. But the comic book, the one I was telling you about, it seems like Star's sisters are coming after her. That's why like there was a continuation. I felt like what they were their comic book did was probably bring to life what Joel Schumacher had in mind for the sequel for the movie. But I found it weird when David actually does appear in the comic book at the end.
Really?
Yeah. But he kind of does like a helping hand. So it's weird for me. I don't like, I remember I bought the comic books. They're like, hey, Leo, you like horror? I'm like, I'm a sucker for horror comic books. So most of the time, I even tell the people, the guys at Bedrock, like, yo, like, you guys have any recommendation for me? I just throw it in my box. Like, you don't even have to ask me. Like, you guys read it. You guys think it's really good. Just throw it in the box. I'll take a peek at it. And if I like it, I'll just put it in my box too. You know, like, I'll tell you guys, hey, just keep me subscribed to that, you know? And so many that they've done like that. And I've loved, you know, like, also they've kept me up with like the Danzig comics that came out, like the last Veronica comic that came out or whatnot. Just put it in there. Like, aren't you a Danzig fan? I'm like, hell yeah. That was a price for you in your box. Nice. You know? So it's one of those things where they put the Lost Boys in there and I was all like, huh? Like, I'm like, oh, I like horror, but I don't remember, or like, I felt like I had to watch the movie before reading the comic book, but I just went ahead and just read the book. I think the comic book was actually better. That's the thing. It's, even though it does take place like in the 80s and all that, it felt more, I don't know, I guess it seems silly. I do like his writing, by the way. He does good for superhero comics and as well as horror comics that he's done. It was not really DC. It's DC technically, but it's a Vertigo comic.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I know Team City did an amazing run for a Hellblazer.
Yeah.
Constantine. So, it's something that I saw the name. I saw the Lost Boys. And I was like, but I saw his name attached to it. So, you know how sometimes you'll take a chance because of the writer of the comic book?
Yeah.
So that's what I ended up doing. I thought it was pretty cool, but I felt like too many questions were left in the air for me, because I'm like, I remember watching the film, but I don't remember much of it. Maybe because they do say, hey, do you remember such and such, such and such? And I'm sitting there like, I don't remember what they're talking about. I really do not. So now that I watched it, I took a gander at the comic book when we had decided to do this film, I took a gander at the comic and like just read a couple panels and pages. I'm like, okay, I remember a lot of this. I remember a lot of this too. I don't remember that. Yeah. I don't remember that. And then, yeah, it goes into that. And they even asked the question, what's up with the glittery blood? So I'm just like, okay, well, that didn't answer no questions there. But the thing is, when it was brought up in the book, I was like, glittery blood? Like, okay. And then I watched the film. I'm like, oh, Lord.
Yeah.
So, man, it's, I guess, we got anything else to say about this film?
It's whatever. I mean, I'll say it in my review.
All right. Well, I shall go first. I honestly think my rating's a little high, but I'm gonna give this movie a 6.5. It's if it wasn't for the Frog Brothers. Literally, the Frog Brothers is what made this movie happen and work.
Yeah.
Like, when they come in the house and, like, when they got invited to dinner or whatnot, and they look at Max, and then they're like, well, how did it go? It's like, oh, I mean, they could stay, and they're like, mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
It's like, they were just, like, they literally were the comedy relief of the film, and that's where I see the comedy from. But I just felt like they were casted or made or put into the wrong film.
Yeah.
So if it wasn't for them, this movie would have just bombed horribly, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of the same boat. I hadn't really decided how high I was going to go, but I'll go ahead and be the same. I'll give it a 6.5 out of 10 because it wasn't as horrible as it could have been, but it's more of a nostalgia film, I think. Mm-hmm. The Frog Brothers did do a good job. They were overly dead in their... in the way that they talked and the way they delivered their lines and stuff, but it still worked. And I like when they ran out of the cave, and I think it was Corey was saying they tricked us. They used their vampire magic and they just woke up when we killed them. Or whatever the line was. Because like, I think his brother was like, oh, we did like horrible on that. He's like, no, no, no. It was them using their vampire magic. They woke up.
Yeah, that was good. It, like right there, like after that, it was the scene where like they're like, hit it. He put it in reverse instead of forward. They go backwards. And
Haynes almost fall off the cliff.
Yeah, Haynes looks over at Feldman and goes, hey, man, we said pedal to the metal. Not warp speed. I was like, what delivery line was that? It was funny for being so stupid.
Stupid, yeah.
So, 6.5. Guess it is what it is. Nobody hate us. It's personal opinions. You know, a lot of people are vampire lovers out there and all that.
Yeah. Hey, so, I like vampires. I would like if one came up to me like, let's go, I'm like, okay, fine, I guess. You know, it's not vampire hate. It's this movie was just not as good as it could have been.
For the storyline and plot that it has, it had potential to be better. Yeah, that it did. So I guess. Since I went first on the ratings, I'll do my first recommendation. I will do Fright Night, as mentioned earlier. I honestly, 80s or the remake, either or, they're both fun films. They're both product of their times, but even the 80s one does not age so bad. That's actually the beauty of it. It's an 80s film that still could, you know, kids from nowadays can actually enjoy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Fright Night. If you want to know a little bit about it, a vampire moves next door to a kid who is big horror fanatic. There are some changes in the remake. Who is the vampire, or like who's the horror fanatic and who knows more of the lore than the other person does between the best friend and the main character. But all the same, you have a vampire trying to pretty much get this kid. Feels kind of like the Alfred Hitchcock film, the Rear Window, where like the neighbor's stalking the other neighbor because people are disappearing from his house. Is that kind of scenario? So. Yeah, and nobody's going to believe the kid because, one, he's a teenager. Two, who the hell believes in vampires, really?
Yep.
So, yeah, it's a good fun watch.
Yeah, and for my recommendation, I know I like to give a little bit out of left field, but they're related. So you mentioned it earlier. I would say if anyone has not watched Stand By Me, to give it a watch.
I mean,
it's a good film.
I mean, it's kind of within. You kind of did a Joey there because Joey always does like a film that has the same star in it or the director.
Hey, it's got Corey Feldman and Kiefer Sutherland in it. What do you want?
Yep. Damn, going for the Joey recommendation style. Look at you.
In his honor, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, in his honor, you know. Just in case, RIP Joey, we missed you.
I didn't say in memoriam. I said in his
honor. All right, so Joey should be hopefully be back next week. If not, we'll be bidding farewell to the Nimrod Horror Podcast. But where could people find any one of us at? I'll go first still. You can find me at XXLeoXR2D2XX on the Instagram. Vincent, where can people find you at?
Well, you can give me a look over at Instagram, Twitch, or Twitter at ELCIDLCID the first.
All right. And for the entire podcast, actually, you know what? Let's just throw it out there. If you want to find Joey anywhere, you can find him at Nimrod Horror on Instagram. So now, for the entire podcast, you can find us over at Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, you name it, at the Nimrod Horror Podcast. One word. Like, subscribe, follow. And if you want some sci-fi talk, wrestling talk, you want any just randomness that is not just horror, you can follow me and Vincent at Nimrod Generation Podcast. One word on Instagram. We are on Anchor and on Spotify.
Yep.
So there's nothing left to say, but thank you for listening. Thank you for hanging around, and
thanks for having me.
Thank you for backing me up, and your beer is not beer, it's coffee.
You need to try it then.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Later.